Now, I wanted to read that one passage just so we could get the background of the story that we're going to look into this evening. But really, I just had one burden for reading that whole passage, and that burden is this. The man who we've just been reading about this evening, Cornelius, that man is in heaven this evening. That is my burden for tonight. That man who we have just been reading about got saved in this story, and now he is in the presence of God. You ask me, how do I know? Well, because he received the Holy Spirit of God. He believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, received the Holy Spirit of God, and now he's passed on from this life into the next. And the Bible says that whosoever believeth on the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved. This man believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and was saved. And he died a long time ago. We're reading this story. This is about 2,000 years ago. Cornelius has been long gone. But he had salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore he makes a very good case study for us to look at in the gospel this evening. How did this man get saved? What was it that saved this man? How is he now in heaven today? How can we get to heaven? And how can we avoid the lake of fire? That's what we look to preach during the gospel this evening. There might be some of you here today and you're wondering why you're here, what's going on, you're not quite sure what's going on. We're here to preach Christ and him crucified. We're here to preach the risen Lord Jesus Christ with you because he is the Saviour of sinners. The Bible says this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. My dear friends, we're here to preach the one who can save your soul. That's what we're doing here tonight. Each one of us, we've been blessed of God, we have an eternal soul within us. And that eternal soul, when it passes from this life into the next, it has to go to one of two places. And it has to go either to a lake of fire or it can go to heaven. And the only difference maker is the Lord Jesus Christ. If I can put it this way, and I say this reverently, when you stand before God one day, and every single person in this room will, whether you believe on him or not, you will stand before him. The question will come, what did you do with the Lord Jesus Christ? That's the big question. That is the big question. And we see in here Cornelius, one who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, and he was saved. And many of his house as well, it's a truly wonderful story. And we pray that if there's anyone in here tonight who is not yet saved, you would just follow this here. That's all you have to do. It's as simple as that. You just follow what every other Christian has ever done. Put your trust, transfer your trust from yourself to the Saviour. Put your trust in him for your eternal salvation. That's all you have to do to become a Christian. That's all you have to do. It's all God asks of you. So, let's look in a bit more detail. I mean, I could stop there and we could all go home tonight. It's as simple as that. But we've got another 40 minutes to go. So let's look at some of the things which characterize this man, Cornelius. We read in the first two verses that he was a Roman. And he was part of the Italian band. This man was a Roman of all Romans. He was an Italian Roman. You might want to call him a thoroughbred Roman. And he'd been posted over there into Caesarea, into a place called Israel. And there he was, working away in these massive big army barracks that they had there. And guess what? He had seen something of the God of Israel. It says here that a devout man, one that feared God with all of his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. This man, he was an observant man. He was an observant man. He'd been posted here in this strange place, this new land, and he looked around him and he'd seen the God of Israel before him in the Jewish people. And he was interested in the God of Israel. He was observant of what was going on around him. And because he was observant, he was seeking the Lord. The Bible says, seek ye the Lord whilst he may be found. Call upon him whilst he's near. And my question to you tonight, my dear friends, are you seeking the Lord? Are you seeking the Lord? There's not many people who are seeking the Lord in our land tonight. There's really not. You speak to people all the time as Christians, and you say, oh, well, I don't think God really exists. And my question is always to them, have you actually sought him? Have you actually gone out and sought him? Have you ever read the Bible? Have you ever prayed to him? Have you ever lifted up your voice to him? Have you ever called upon his name and asked him to show you that he actually exists? You see, that was one of the things that Cornelius was doing. He was praying to God always. He knew that God was alive, and he knew that God could answer his prayer. And I believe as you read through this story and you reread it, you realize this. I think Cornelius was praying for salvation. I think he genuinely was, because the angel came to him and said, your prayer's been answered. We're going to show you the way of salvation. Let me ask you, are you genuinely seeking God's salvation tonight? Are you genuinely seeking a home in heaven? You know, where I come from, Hope Chapel in Moseley in Birmingham, we get many, many people come into the gospel meetings, and we're very thankful for it. Very thankful for it. But they come in for a whole multitude of reasons, and it's very obvious a lot of the time that a lot of them are not coming in actually to get saved. They're coming in for money, they're coming in for the social aspect, they're coming in for whatever else it may be, but they're not coming in to find eternal life in Jesus Christ. My dear friends, why are you here tonight? That's my question for you. Why are you here? Do you want eternal life in Jesus Christ? Because it's offered freely to all men. It's offered freely and without charge, and you can find it tonight. And a seeking sinner will always find a seeking Savior. He's the great shepherd who goes after the sheep. He is the one who looks for those who are lost. And if you're looking for him, he will find you. There's no doubt about that in my mind. You know, there's another young brother who comes into Hope Chapel. His name is Jason. Hopefully some of you might get the pleasure of meeting him one day. He was saved about 2.5 years ago. At the time of COVID, he started listening to the Bible in his bedroom because he was genuinely seeking the Lord. And he started observing the God of the Bible, and he started observing the majesty of God and the wonders of what is in God's Word. And he kept reading, and he kept seeking, and then eventually, one day, he came to put his trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. He did that in his bedroom, on his own, with a Bible. He had no other inputs from anyone else, just him, God, and the Word of God. Everything that we need is in here. And if we are genuinely seeking after the Lord Jesus Christ, we will find him. You see, Cornelius here is observant, and he works out some things about God. He works out that God wants to be feared. He said, oh, God wants to be feared, is it? Well, yes. Yeah. The Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A knowledge of the holy is understanding. God is to be feared, absolutely. When you start observing God and seeking him, you're going to find that we deal with a holy God in heaven who's going to judge one day. And that's a big problem for us because we're in our sin. And he's going to judge us in absolute righteousness. He's not going to leave any stone unturned. So yes, he is one to be feared. But you see also here, Cornelius, he gave much alms to the people. He's also seen in God this God that he's been observing. He's trying to emulate his characteristics here. He's seen one who's giving as well, a God who's giving. And therefore, he goes about giving as well. And let me tell you, Cornelius here, he only had half the story. Peter had to come and preach the other half of the story to him. And the other half of the story showed Cornelius that God was giving way beyond what he could ever think. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. My dear friends, are you seeking tonight? Because if you are seeking, you'll come into contact with the God who loves you, who died for you, and who's willing to give you eternal life. We can see that in the very next over that I've got. Cornelius was observant. He was also observed by God. You see, God sent an angel to him. God was watching Cornelius. He's very interested in what was going on with Cornelius. And he's very interested in what's going on in this meeting this evening. It's God. I can tell you that much. He's very interested in the soul of every single person in this building tonight. And he's very interested in the soul of every single person in this world. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He wants everyone in here to be saved. And he wanted Cornelius to be saved. And that's why he spoke to this angel. He spoke through this angel to Cornelius because he desired his salvation now. He desires your salvation this evening. He does. He really does. And he went at great lengths to purchase. The Lord Jesus Christ went to great lengths to purchase that salvation at the cross of Calvary. And God now looks on to see what it is you will do in response to what his Son has done. And the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. He sees all things. He sees right down into the depths of your hearts, my dear friends, this evening. Don't be fooled. God knows if in your hearts of hearts you've accepted his Son or not. You may be able to put on a good facade, you may dress the part, you may be coming in here and pretending to be a Christian, whatever it might be, but God can look on the heart. And he knows if you're saved or not this evening. And he desires you to be saved. Don't doubt that. He really does desire you to be saved, but he's watching on to see what you will do with his Son. That's what matters to God. The question comes, what have you done with his Son? Have you come to him yet? Have you put your trust in him? Has there been rejoicing in heaven over your soul repenting yet? Or are you still waiting? Are you holding back? God watches on, my dear friends, and he's very interested in your salvation. Now, when the word of God came to Cornelius, now we're moving on to something else. So we see that Cornelius, he was observant. He was observant of God, but he was also obedient to the word of God. When this angel came and said, "You go down to Joppa, Cornelius, I've got Peter there, he's going to come up and he's going to preach to you." Cornelius didn't sit there and go, "Think about it. Not sure about that." No, he was obedient to the word of God. He submitted to it. As soon as that word came, he gathered his two servants, he gathered that devout soldier, and he said, "You go and get this man, Peter." You know, that was a big thing for Cornelius to do. The Jews and the Romans, they didn't get on so much, but this word came from God, he accepted it, he sent down, and then Peter came. He was obedient to the word of God. He submitted to it. Now the question comes, my dear friends. Do we submit to the word of God? When the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, what do you say to that? What do you say to that? I accept it in my heart. I know that I'm a sinner. You just ask my wife. She's there at the back. She'll tell you all about it. I know it. I know it in my own heart. When the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, I say amen. Yes. Praise God for the honesty and the reality of the word of God. You know, there's another dear sister who just recently got saved at Hope Chapel. And first her son got saved. And her son, he's a bit of a zealous one. He loves to go out and share the gospel. So he went home straight away, sat in front of his mum and said, "Mum, you're a sinner." That's what he said to her. And I said to Phyllis, this dear sister of ours, I said, "What did you think when you first heard that?" Because she had a Catholic background. And she goes, "Well, I sat there and I said, I'm not a sinner." And that's our natural reaction, isn't it? We don't want to come under the word of God. We don't want to accept that we're sinners. We don't want to accept that we are heading to a lost eternity in the lake of fire. But this is what the word of God says, my dear friends. And unless you come under submission to the word of God, you've got no chance. This is it. This book that I have in my hand is it. This tells us the reality of this world. It tells us that we are sinners. It tells us that we are in need of a Saviour. And it tells us that precious Saviour has been provided for each and every single one of us. And if you don't come under submission to this word right here, you've got no hope. Absolutely none. There was another man who came into Hope Chapel the other day. And he was mixed up in all sorts of stuff. He knew witches, he knew warlocks, he was talking to me about all types of different things. It still goes on in our world today. You better believe that that stuff still goes on in our world today. Absolutely. And I had a very interesting conversation with him. Very, 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 very interesting, as you can probably imagine. He had a lot to tell me about a lot of things. But the question then came down to what he was doing there at Holt Chapel that day. And his answer was, well, you all seem like really nice people, so I thought I'd come in. And then so we carried on talking a little bit, and he said to me this. He said that he struggles to come under authority. He likes to be a free spirit. He likes the idea of New Age religious doctrines where you can just go off and be your own person. And I turned around to him and I said, so you would have a problem in coming under the authority of the Word of God? And he turned around to me and said, yes, I would. I would have a real big problem with coming under the authority of the Word of God. I would not be able to submit to the Word of God. And he's not been seen in Hope Chapel since. That is scary. That's really, really scary. That man is on the Broadway that leads to destruction, and he does not want to come under the authority and to submit to the Word of God. If we are ever to get saved, my dear friends, we have to believe that this is the truth. We have to. We have to believe that the Word of God is the truth, because the Word of God speaks of the only Saviour who died for sinners. It's the only book which provides the ways of eternal life. You can ask any other religious person in this world, anyone you can choose, do you know that you are going to get to heaven when you die? Do you know for certain? And they have to say, if they're being honest, I don't know. This is the only book which gives the ironclad way to get to heaven. I love this book. I love this book because it tells me of a Saviour who died for me, who took the punishment on Calvary's tree, was buried and rose again the third day so I can be set free. That's what it tells us, my dear friends. And if we are not willing to submit to it, if we are not willing to come under its authority, if we say, no, I don't want to believe it, I don't want anything to do with it, we've got no hope. We've got absolutely no hope. So, Cornelius, he was observant, he was observed by God, and he was obedient to the Word of God. What else was he? He was a touch overzealous. When Peter came to him from Joppa and he greets him for the first time, Cornelius just got carried away with himself. And in his typical Romanness, he bowed down to the idol, he bowed down to the man, he worshipped Peter, and he didn't just quite know what he was doing. He didn't have that knowledge. He knew he wanted to try and please Peter in some way or to please the other Christians. So there he goes, he's on his face, and he's worshipping a man. Now, we do worship a man, but it's not Peter. We worship the Lord Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, who came in the flesh to save sinners. That's who we worship. And that's who we commend to this evening. Because if you do get saved this evening, God will give you a new heart and a new spirit in you. And do you know what he'll turn you into? He'll turn you into a worshipper of the Lord Jesus Christ, first and foremost. But going back to Cornelius, he was a bit overzealous. But we can take great encouragement from that, tremendous encouragement from it. Because you don't need to know everything to get saved. My dear friends, you don't need a PhD in theology to get saved. You don't need to have read the whole Bible from cover to cover and to see everything in there and to necessarily understand everything. No, you need to understand this. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. You see, the message is so simple. It's so very simple. And when Peter preaches the message, he preaches it so very simply. We just present to you the facts. That's all we can do. Christ, the eternal Son of God, was enthroned in heaven. God looked down on this world. He saw that it was lost in sin through Adam's sin. And wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death passed upon all men for all of sin. And God, in eternity past, knew all this was going to happen. And he had this plan of redemption laid out. And this plan of redemption was what? Christ Jesus coming into the world to save sinners. That's what God's plan was. And that's all you need to know, that Christ died for you. We deserve the punishment. We are condemned already, the Bible says. We're condemned already. So the judgment has actually already been passed. The judgment's done, in a sense, because we're condemned already. If we are not saved this evening, if you've not come to put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ this evening, you're simply waiting for the punishment, which will definitely come because God's word has said it. But if you put your trust in the Saviour tonight, if you trust in the one who died in your place, who took that punishment for you on Calvary's tree, you can be saved. You say to me, okay, preacher, so on the one hand, I have to suffer in hell for all of eternity for my sins, because I've sinned against the thrice holy God, and you're saying to me, that's what the Bible says I deserve, all of eternity. But then at the same time, you're saying to me that because Jesus Christ suffered for 3 hours on the cross, in darkness on Calvary's tree, I can be set free. Yes, that's what exactly what I'm saying to you. And all God asks you to do is come unto the Lord Jesus Christ and to believe on him. How does it work? Well, the eternal Son of God is worth so much more than anything else in this world. So when he suffered, bled and died and gave up his life for sinful mankind, it was worth value in eternity to God. God's wrath has been appeased by the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ offered up a perfect sacrifice unto God, and God's very happy with it. He's very happy with it indeed, and that's why he can offer us grace today. That's why he can offer us eternal life, because Christ has appeased the wrath of God. But if you don't believe on the wrath of God, on Lord Jesus Christ, that wrath of God still abides upon you. The Bible says, he that believeth on the Son has life. He that believeth not on the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides upon him. Now that wrath, it's not just abiding, it's accumulating. Every time we sin, every time we go against God's ways and his holy law, that wrath just accumulates to the day of judgment. It's not just accumulating, it's absolutely assured as well, because God's word has said that the day of vengeance is coming and the great white throne is coming. And dear friends, I don't want any of you to not a single soul in here. I don't want you to be at that great white throne judgment. I want you to be at the judgment seat of Christ, which is where Christians go. Not only is it assured, it awaits. It awaits, thankfully, because you can still get saved if there's breath in your lungs this evening. It's still the day of grace, my dear friends. You can still get saved tonight if you put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. You can have your eternity settled this evening. You know, I was speaking to one of my friends the other day, and he's not saved. I've known him since he's about this big. Honestly, it bleeds my heart dry when I think about him, because to think of him in hell is just one of the hardest things to think about, really. And he was talking to me the other day and said, you know, what if you're wrong, though? And I said, well, then, if I'm wrong, I've wasted my life in the pursuit of Christ in this life, but I've lost nothing in eternity, because eternity doesn't exist if none of this is true. But I said, Ben, if you're wrong, you've gained this poxy, temporary, sin-filled life, and in eternity, you've lost everything. The risk not even comparable, are they? They're just not. And the thing is, the fact of the matter is, we know that the word of God is true, because the word of God stands for itself. There's over 2,500 prophecies in the Bible. About 2,000 of them have come true to the absolute letter. The remaining 500 have to do with the end times, the times that we live in, or the times that have come.
This book has proved itself over time and time again. 387 of those prophecies related to Jesus Christ, him coming into this world and dying on Calvary's tree. And you know what? He did it. You can ask any secular historian, you can ask anyone you so desire who's looked into these things with an honest, open heart. They say these things. Jesus Christ was a real person. He definitely died on the cross. And many of them have to confess, perhaps against their own will, that something very strange happened 3 days later after he died, because there was a massive change in Jerusalem. And Jesus' disciples went out and preached the word to everyone with great boldness after being very fearful just a couple of days before. The evidence is amazing to support the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world to save sinners. Now, as I was saying, you don't need to look for that evidence, you just need to simply put your trust in him this evening. You don't need to know everything. So, Cornelius, he was observant, he was observant of God, he was obedient, he was overzealous, he was open to the message. You know, this man, as we've just been discussing, he didn't know everything. But when Peter came up and preached to him, he accepted the message. Just as simple as that. In chapter 15 of Acts, it says that his heart was purified by faith. Peter came and preached. His sermon that he preached, it's one of the most basic sermons that you'll come across ever. He certainly didn't waffle on like me for half an hour. It was a simple sermon. And he presented the facts of the case, as we've just done now. And Cornelius was open to the message. He received the message and accepted it. And we already discussed what the message is this evening. We're sinners in need of a saviour. Christ Jesus is that saviour. You put your trust in him, you'll be saved for all of eternity. That's the simple message. It's as simple as it comes. And he believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't think he ever regretted it. I certainly don't think he ever regretted it. I don't think there's a born-again Christian in this room who regrets putting their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, life can be tough. And life can be tough for Christians as well. But eternity is settled in the Christian heart. And it can be settled in your heart tonight. And the Bible says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, life may not always be peaceful in the day-to-day rigmarole. But I tell you what, it's something tremendous to have peace with God. Something absolutely tremendous, and it comes through simple faith, and it comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith's nothing, faith's not a work, faith's nothing to be proud of. You know, I use this analogy all the time, but me and my wife, we went to Skiathos the other day, the other month in September, and we flew over there in a plane. And by stepping onto that plane and sitting down in that seat, I put my faith in that pilot to get me there. At the end of the flight, I didn't stand up and go, oh, pardon me for putting my faith in that pilot to get me here. Faith is not something that needs to be worked at. It's not something that creates itself. It's not anything like that. It's simply just putting your trust in something. We do it all the time. We get in a lift, we press floor 8, and we trust that it's going to take us to floor 8. We pick up an Uber, we put in our location, and we trust that Uber's going to come and take us. Now, they are minor matters, I understand, but it's exactly the same principle. What the Christian has done is this. They've put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ to take them from this dark, dreary existence, sin-filled life, to the very place of the New Jerusalem in heaven, with streets of gold and the tree of life and abundance of everything that you could ever want. But most importantly, we put our faith and trust in him so that we can spend all of eternity with him. That's what the Christian looks forward to. It's what I think that's what keeps a lot of people from coming to Christ, you know. I don't think they actually want Christ. You know, it would have to be a fairly depressed or foolish person who would not want the blessings of heaven. Easy life, lots of rest, you know, the sun never stops shining, so on and so forth. But the fact of the matter is that place called heaven, called the New Jerusalem, it's going to be all to the glory and the magnification of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now that's the best thing for the Christian. That's the best thing. I'm looking forward to seeing my Lord. And I tell you what, if you put your trust and your faith in him tonight, there'll be a new spirit and you'll be looking forward to seeing him as well. You know, the reason why I'm looking forward to seeing my Lord is this, because he died for me. I don't know anyone else in this world who died for me. I don't know anyone in this world who would die for me. I don't know if I would die for anyone else in this room. I'm not sure I would. I couldn't say for sure. I'm sure you're all very nice people, but I'm not sure that I can say that with an honest heart. But let me tell you this. Christ Jesus has died for you. And he didn't die for you being his friend, or even good towards him. He died for you as his enemies. The Bible says God commendeth his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We hate God in our hearts. We're against him. And yet he sent his son to die for us. And all he asks us to do is put our faith and our trust in him and we can have eternal life. Have you got it? Have you got eternal life, my dear? As you sit there now, have you got eternal life? We have a lot of things in this country, don't we? Nice cars, nice houses, nice clothes, so on and so forth. The list really does go on. Nice technology, nice foods. We're not really in want for much in this country, are we? But are you the owner of eternal life? I have it within me. You're looking at a man who has eternal life within me. You're looking at a lot of Christians here who have eternal life within them. Have it tonight by putting your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. You can have it as a free gift from God. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Our Lord is a gift. This is what Cornelius received here. He received the gift of eternal life. He was sealed by the Holy Spirit of God, never to be lost. You know, once you're saved, you can never be unsaved. Wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. There's lots of churches out there that will teach that you can lose your salvation. You cannot. It's not true. Because it's not dependent on us. It's dependent on the Saviour. And he has said, it is finished. And the Bible says that if we come to him, in no wise cast anyone out, take anyone in, and he'll give them rest for their souls. Inhabit time. Free gift. Well, the funny thing about a gift is, you can't pay for it, can you? If you pay for a gift, it automatically doesn't become a gift anymore. The only thing that you can do with a gift is accept it or reject it. Now, we all know it'd be a pretty rude thing to reject any gift from anyone, regardless of how bad the gift is. But this is the greatest gift of all, the gift of eternal life. So to reject this doesn't get much serious than that. Much more serious than that. God just asks you to accept the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ this evening. Finally, the last one. Cornelius was orderly. He was saved first, then he was baptized. Not the other way around. Not at the same time. I can't tell you how many people I've spoken to in the last few weeks who have said, when I asked them when they got saved, I was baptized on such and such a day. Baptism does not save you. Cannot. Otherwise, every time most people had a bath, they would be halfway to getting saved. You just have to dunk your head under and that would be it. No. Baptism does not save you. Trust and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ saves. And baptism comes afterwards. Baptism is a step of obedience. And if you have been saved, it's something you should definitely do. It's not something that should be put off. It's not something that should be waited for. If you are certain that you have been saved, it is the next step of obedience. And that is what God is looking for you once you get saved. Looking for that obedient walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, Christ was standing up. He said, come unto me, all ye that labour and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's getting saved. And then it says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. After we've been saved, it's that walk with Christ, that service, and the start of that is to be baptised. You notice there was no delay here. There was no delay here. He was saved. He was baptised. Now, I understand that sometimes delaying can be the right thing to do if somebody's not sure if they're saved or not. That's the one time where it's okay. If there's some doubt in the mind. But if you're absolutely sure that you've been saved by the grace of God, the next step is baptism. So Cornelius, he was observant, he was observed of God, he was obedient to the word of God, he was overzealous, he was open to the message of God, and he was all good. May the Lord bless his word, we'll close with the word.